Okay, so I want an Anne Rice cinematic universe.
Anne Rice, not Anne Rand.
Yes, Anne
Oh,
Rice,
because
not Anne Rand.
Anne Rand is spelled, is said Ain, I believe, or
Yeah, that would
something.
be Ayn Rand,
Okay.
which is not who I'm talking
So
about.
a bunch of Jesus books?
You said this before and I looked it up. Yeah.
She spent like 10
An
years
American
writing.
author of gothic fiction, erotic literature, and Christian literature.
It's the.
That's the career arc for me.
But then she went back to vampires.
That's because they're awesome. Yeah, there's like 8 or 9 Lestat books. There's the witches books that she did. They're all connected. They're all in the same world. There's like TV series of them.
Well, and hey, isn't, oh no. I was going to say, isn't Tom Cruise in the Interview with the Vampire? But that's not him.
Yeah,
Yeah, he is.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise. Does he get turned into a vampire?
He's the vampire that turns Brad Pitt into a
Yeah,
vampire.
and he in real life is immortal and hasn't aged.
He looks old now.
I'm joking, but he does not.
He does age at a very diminished rate.
Yes, we would accept if there's not a picture of him next to it, people just being like, wow, you haven't aged in 40
Well,
years.
that's
And
amazing.
we would
I
buy
know.
it as an
We'd say
audience.
it. By the way, Interview with a Vampire, the movie. I know there's a series of that. The movie with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt 100% holds up.
Does
In
it?
fact, I'd say it's better
So
now
here's the
than
thing.
it used to be.
Never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it.
It's so good.
Was not interested in
And it
vampires.
has Antonio Banderas in it.
Well, I mean, that's a good selling point.
It's real
Like,
good.
okay. I mean,
And
vampires
Christian
never
Slater.
really been my thing. I've seen some vampire things, but I haven't seen a lot of the classics. Like, I haven't seen the other one with, like, what's his name? The young kids who are like vampires and
Oh,
hedonistic
The Lost Boys?
Lost Boys. I haven't seen
Yeah.
Lost Boys. I
Kiefer
haven't,
Sutherland.
yeah,
The great
Searching
thing
for
about
Nemo.
Anne Rice vampires specifically is that the
They're
entire
objectivist?
theme of it
Right.
is we are immortal and fancy and it sucks. Like, no one is happy
Okay.
about their lot in life or unlife, except I guess Tom Cruise is like, yeah, this is pretty great. I get to eat all the children I want. And everyone else is like, oh, I am immortal and life is terrible. And I am so here for that. I love that.
Why?
And I always have been. This is not a depression thing. This is Dan just loves angsty vampires. I just think it's really neat.
As most people of your age.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, so top three angsty vampire movies.
I mean, there's only one. It's just Interview with a Vampire.
Okay, so the
That's
Bram
why I want
Stoker's
more.
Dracula doesn't count because I have seen that one, the
Yeah,
Keanu
I
Reeves
mean,
one.
you're talking about Gary Oldman, Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder. That's a good movie. After Interview with a Vampire, my favorite vampire thing is actually the first episode of the Netflix Dracula series, which was Stephen Moffat and what's his name? Who plays Mycroft Holmes in the Sherlock series? I can't remember his name. The first episode of that is amazing. They get gothic horror so flawlessly right. And I love it. Second episode's good. Third episode's terrible. But the first one's awesome.
What about, you know, the great gothic horror vampire show or movie, Blade?
Blade. I love Blade.
Do you love Blade?
I love Blade 2. I love Blade 3.
Do you? Do you
Yes.
love the painted on eyes? You know that, right? For those who don't know, there is a. I've heard lore of why, but Wesley Snipes would not act. The scene called for him to open. He's laying on a slab. He's supposed to open his eyes and do something, and he refused. For some reason, like, how do you go to work to act and lay down and then refuse to open your eyes? So they CG'd his eyes opening with very early bad CG, and it is so hilarious. If you haven't seen it, just look up that scene and of his CG eyes, and particularly if you see it moving, like,
Yeah, it looks terrible.
why wouldn't he open his eyes?
Remind me which of the three movies this was
This
in.
is
Was it
three.
a three? Because three is when they got Guillermo del Toro to come in. And I think he just didn't like the new director. And that's one of the reasons that three is so incredible, because del Toro is a visionary horror Wonderkind. And I think Wesley Snipes just didn't like him. Didn't like where he was taking the series.
Okay.
That's my guess, but I don't know.
What about Blade 4, also known as What We Do in the Shadows, with his cameo? Have you seen that?
Does he cameo in the series?
Yeah, he cameos in the series.
I have seen that.
As Blade.
I have seen that because it's in the council.
Yeah.
I am one of those jerks that likes the movie better than the series, but the series is also wonderful.
Okay.
And the whole council scene in particular is fantastic because Blade is in it, and there's, I think, Anna Kendrick or one of the other like vampires from the Twilight movies is in it. It's just, it's delightful.
Okay. All right. So what are we actually talking about today? Oh, right. It has nothing to do with vampires.
It has nothing to do with vampires. But before we get to it.
There it is. Oh, it's so great. Adam just pulled up the gif of Wesley Snipes opening his eyes.
I have a phenomenal food heist for you. Are you excited for this?
Yeah. It better be blood.
It's not blood.
Okay.
Sorry. This happened 4 years ago in May. Okay. In Modesto, California.
Got it.
And it absolutely fits our criteria for a heist. There's not necessarily a team of people, but this was a plan that was orchestrated carefully carried out under extreme duress.
Okay.
A guy jumped on a moving tanker truck that was carrying bulk red wine.
Okay, more wine, huh?
He climbed under the tanker, unscrewed the little valve.
Yeah.
And then drank a bunch of wine while the thing was on the highway traveling.
Wow.
Because he also apparently forgot his bucket, but he was not going to let it go to waste.
So that's how you do it when you forget your bucket.
Yeah.
Right?
The guy in Spain, he did not get his face down there and drink
it. No, no. You forget your bucket. And what you got to do is you're like, well, I need to actually steal as much of this as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some respect going on there.
Unless the guy in Spain is this guy from Modesto, who's like, he just got a taste for opening wine valves, and now he can't stop himself.
Okay.
I don't know. But that's like, that's a cool scene from a movie right there.
Yeah, except
the guy
for the whole
climbing under the thing of a moving truck, drinking wine right there on the highway in full view of California Highway Patrol.
We could put this in our story about the nacho cheese guy, right? It's just his tanker of nacho cheese because he needs nacho cheese for his powers, right?
Okay.
And so what do we call him? The naturalist?
The naturalist?
The naturalist is like, oh, no.
He's like, oh, no, I have to fight the giant pretzel guy. What do I do? And then he sees the wine guy go by on the highway, and he's like, that gives me an idea. And then he finds a nacho cheese truck. And drinks the cheese out of it.
I was just thinking of lifting the scene, and there's a nacho cheese truck. You can cut the wine guy
out.
No,
we got to have the wine guy. We got to give credit where it's due.
Uh-huh. Boy, I'm struggling on a pun for this one because, you know, I already used my good wine pun.
Yeah. It's red wine? I don't know enough about wine
that's a problem.
To know anything.
We don't drink wine, and so we don't know any of the terminology for wine.
Yeah.
We ought to have a contest in the comments.
Who can come up with a good name for the guy who crawls under moving wine tanker trucks and drinks wine on the highway?
You'll win nothing except for our admiration. But yeah, if you can think of a good wine pun for this one, then go ahead and throw it in the comments. We'll let people, you know, pick their favorite. We'll see what's at the top of this one.
I shudder to think of the horrors we've unleashed.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah. So do we have a topic for today?
Well, I thought Little Donald suggested we talk about The Matrix.
I thought we weren't going to call him Little Donald anymore.
Oh, it doesn't quite get the concept.
I do like that he's like sommelier-ing.
All right. What do we call him instead of Little Donald?
Donald?
If you say Donald, that's his dad to me. That's why I call
him.
Okay.
What if we call him Three? We call him Third, like Ender.
Third? Well,
I've got a couple. So back when I was at the warehouse, Third was one.
Okay.
That Richard would go by quite a bit.
But they would call you Third.
They would go with Third. Okay. I've gotten a lot of just Mustard.
Oh, Mustard.
Mustard
works.
I think I'm going to go with Musty.
Musty.
But honestly, anything works. I remember you calling me like Little Mustard a couple times.
But that's back when you were my TA. You were a teenager, right? Not a grown man. My favorite, you know, is the fact that they call your dad at the warehouse Papa Fortnite.
Papa Fortnite.
Isn't that
That's so that's mine original.
That's your original.
That's mine.
That's how Donald told me about his dad.
Yeah.
Papa Fortnite
is out of town right now, so whatever. What if we call him unpaid intern Donald?
But he's not unpaid, and he's not an intern.
What if we stop paying him?
He is a paid contractor at this point because, yeah, so.
On a previous episode, I recommended hiring him. Now I'm recommending firing him just for a good nickname.
It's not a good nickname. It's a terrible nickname.
Whatever. That's what I'm going to call him from now on.
Okay.
You can call him whatever you want.
My unpaid intern number one.
Unpaid. I might just keep calling him Little Donald, but.
It gets the point across.
It gets the point across. He's just not actually little. You just have to imagine
what
that he's
younger.
What if
we call him the Don?
The Don? Yeah.
It makes me sound far more...
What if we call him Neckbeard and encourage him to shave? Actually, you did shave today, so I can't call you Neckbeard. Fine.
I know. My hygiene is just too on point.
Anyway, he suggested that we talk about, was it the Matrix movies?
Yeah. We've done two movie episodes in a row, though.
Then we should talk about the original Matrix books.
There were books?
No.
Okay. We could talk about, like, so...
Usually we do all this before we start recording.
No.
And actually, we did this time.
Hey, Papa Fortnite.
Is that Papa Fortnite?
It does not look at all like him, though.
Oh, I mean, given...
They got the art style down,
though.
They did. Though.
They nailed the art style.
Let's see if I can get it to look more. I just put in Papa Fortnite.
I mean, I actually imagine Papa Fortnite having a Papa Smurf hat. Just so that, but the first time you said it, I cracked up and I imagined your dad in a Smurf hat. So.
The best way to get this would be if you could get spiked hair. It needs the classic.
Yeah, he does the spiky hair
thing.
If
Papa Fortnite has a Smurf hat, that implies that somewhere there's like brainy Fortnite and brawny Fortnite or whatever the guy
handy
would.
Handy
Fortnite. And Fortnite-ette. Fortnite.
How's your week been?
How's my
week
been? We don't
talk about stuff like that.
Oh, my week is actually, this has been a pretty good week.
Yeah?
So last week, I had a pretty good week, but then I went to LTUE, and LTUE is great, but it was a lot.
Yeah.
And my panic disorder did not love it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, at the last minute, I agreed to pinch hit for a friend on the keynote speech.
You gave the keynote?
I gave the keynote speech.
Man.
Because Rebecca Mesta was going to do it, and then she and Kevin J. Anderson got COVID and couldn't come. And so Rebecca was going to do the Saturday one, and they're like, well, she can't come. Will you please give the keynote speech? So I wrote a keynote speech like Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and gave it on Saturday.
That's rough because keynote, like, you don't want to get up there and not have something interesting to say. It is a lot of work.
Because it's an hour. Yeah. Like, I can entertain people for a good 10 minutes without any prep, but then I run out of material.
Well, in a keynote, they don't expect, like, our normal efforts when you and I are on a panel with no preparation.
Well, the first 10 or 15 minutes of this keynote was our normal efforts. It was... pure nonsense, but it was planned nonsense.
Okay.
That eventually turned into a keynote speech. Anyway, the point is, I crashed hard Saturday night from too much peopling and didn't really feel good again until, I want to say, Wednesday morning.
Okay.
But have felt pretty good since then.
I had a really good week because I got to just go up to Sundance and... do a writing retreat.
And write books.
Yep. Went up. So Sundance, for those who don't live locally, you've probably heard of the Sundance Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
The Sundance Film Festival actually does not take place at Sundance. It takes place at Park City, which is a ski town nearby, but it's still
it's
a good 30
minutes.
It's on the
other side of the mountain. From.
Yeah. Sundance is Robert Redford, years and years ago, came in and there's this really nice valley up in the mountains. It's about a 40-minute drive from my house, and it's gorgeous, you know? Lots of trees, a river, beautiful mountain vistas, and you kind of have to go up into the mountains in Utah to get that, because across the mountains is deserts. It's the rain shadow, and so not a lot of trees, not even a lot of snow. but just 30 minutes away is this gorgeous sort of little mountain hamlet where he bought the whole thing, turned it into a kind of a ski resort, but it's not super...
It's more of like chateaus and stuff.
And cabins. And yeah, there's ski hills. It's not where you go if you really seriously want to ski. But if you want to have, you know, do some skiing and sit at a window and look out at the snow and eat some really high quality food. He actually had, I believe, Butch Cassidy's favorite bar moved to Sundance.
I've heard that.
Yep. Like board by board taken.
Taken down from Wyoming.
Yep. And moved there. It actually has really good food if you're at Sundance. And so it's just, it's gorgeous and it's serene. And so I just rented a cabin. The fun part about this is, I don't know if you saw the picture. I love, you know, being able to watch the river flow, and it's not frozen over because this time of year it's, you know, 30s and 40s. And so the river is flowing. And I'm like, get me a river view room if you can, Becky, when you book this. And so she did. Mm-hmm. And I checked in and they're like, oh, we got your river view room, Mr. Sanderson. I'm like, oh, wonderful. So I go to my cabin and I open the drapes and it is snow up to with about like 8-inch spot at the top.
At the top of the double doors.
At the top of the double doors, looking out from the bedroom. And that's because even though it wasn't super cold and blizzardy, the way they have built this particular cabin is this roof slopes onto the second story balcony.
Yeah.
And so there's a nice balcony to look at the river from the second story when it's warm, but all that snow had gone onto it and built a drift 6 feet tall right in front of my window. So nice. I sent a picture to Emily and I said, look, my nice river view room, here is snow.
Well, you wanted to look at water and you got water to
look at. I did, technically. The front windows looked out at a very nice snowy mountain, serene, you know, some picture like trees. We just don't get a lot of trees down here in the valley. And so up there, really nice. So it was quite serene and I spent about a week there. Oh, yeah, there's my picture.
There's the picture.
Uh-huh. And that doesn't quite do it justice because I was trying to get into the part where you could see the trees because I hadn't really grasped the fullness of the joke yet. So it doesn't even go down all the way to the bottom, and it doesn't emphasize the angle there where there's like 8 inches of snow at the
That's great.
There's my view. We can post that. I'm totally fine with it for people to see that this is what I was looking at.
That's nice.
But the fun thing is, as I mentioned in the last episode.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Oh, that looks a lot like him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fairly accurate.
That's
really
a lot
leaned
closer.
Into the Smurf, not the hat. But not I was like, hat. Oh, that's funny. I'm going to share that
one. Okay. That one got a lot closer.
Oh, man.
I used a reference image on that one.
Did you? So. You stuck him in there, so. Yeah.
Everyone who's listening to this on like Spotify, where you don't have any of the images,
well,
and
they
it's
can
just
get
us
them.
Talking about They're images.
In the liner notes. We'll put them in the notes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should click. Are there people who are still confused why we're calling Donald's dad Papa Fortnite?
Probably.
Donald, our friends.
Unpaid intern Donald.
Paid unpaid intern Donald.
Donald Mustard the third.
Yes.
Donald Mustard the second is his father, Papa Fortnite, who is the Fortnite guy.
Yeah, was.
Was, because he left the company, right?
Yep. He left the company 5 months ago, something like that. But yeah, he was the worldwide creative director at Epic Games. If there are people out there that love the Infinity Blade games, those were his. And then one of his next projects was Fortnite. And it took off. And it was super cool. We are partially going to talk about the Matrix films because his dad is in the fourth Matrix film. So,
really?
Yeah. Got a SAG card. He had one line to say.
One line?
Yeah. So you can find him. Because of Fortnite, we should have him on sometime. Because of Fortnite, he got to meet all kinds of cool people because they came in and were like, hey, we'd like to put our characters into Fortnite. And Donald had this thing where it's like, you got to go through me. I want to meet all these people because I like them. And so he ended up having acting roles in a Star Wars film and in Endgame and the new Matrix movie. Though his Endgame one got mostly cut out. Oh, John Wick 4. I forgot John Wick 4. He's in John Wick 4,
No,
too.
This is from The Matrix.
Yeah, this is from The Matrix. But I just saw Keanu, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he was in John Wick as well. So
did he have a line in Endgame?
So in Endgame, he didn't. I should maybe let him tell the story, but he's a wizard. who's making the shield at the end.
Okay.
There's a whole group of them, and they cut most of his thing, so you can only see him for a brief moment. Is it when Doctor Strange is like holding up the finger and going one? It's like, this is the one. If you right behind him is Donald, and he's going, making a shield over his head. We all clapped.
That's delightful.
Because we actually, I think we saw that.
We rented in that big theater, we all went and saw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Donald and his dad rented a theater, and so everyone in that theater was a friend of the Mustard family, and we all went and watched Endgame together because we knew he was in it. And
that's cool.
I think that was his first one. And then he was a stormtrooper, got shot. I think Glenn Close was like in that, or Meryl Streep.
Something like that.
Yeah. They had a bunch of cameos that went to be stormtroopers that got shot on the same day. And so they all were wearing stormtrooper armor and all got to get shot.
Here's my favorite SAG card story.
Okay, yeah. For those who don't know, so to join the Screen Actors Guild in Hollywood, you need a speaking part in a film. And until then, like the rules, certain rules apply to you. Once you've had a speaking part, then you can join SAG. Extras don't get to do that. So you'll often see movies and shows where it feels like someone should deliver a line here, but they don't because they're an extra and they don't want to pay them the extra scale it takes. So getting your SAG card's a big deal.
Well, and for some projects, and I don't know all the rules, you have to have a SAG card if you have lines.
Right.
So, yeah. So Star Trek Lower Decks,
they
had an episode in the last season where they go to one of these big kind of space menagerie things full of aliens. And the most dangerous alien is this cute little white blob named Moopsy.
Yep.
And all it says is, Moopsy, in this cute little voice.
Is that Megan?
No, but it is one of the animators' like five-year-old.
Oh.
And they used that voice as their like placeholder voice while they were filming everything. And then when the time came to actually make the episode, and they were like, we just want to keep the placeholder voice. So they got the five-year-old a SAG card. And then that's who says Moopsy.
Moopsy. That reminds me of, who was it that, now I'm missing the reference. So it's one of the directors who did a whole stand-in for a larger part. I want to say it's the guy who did The Croods. What was the movie he did right before The Croods? We'll get them to look it up. So in The Croods, the director is like Belt. He's like this voice role of an animal. And before that, he'd done a stand-in role. And then everybody liked it. And so the director, do you guys have that for me?
There are two directors.
Two directors of The Croods.
Kirk D'Amico and Chris Sanders. Does either one of those sound
Chris
familiar?
Sanders sounds right to me. Was he? Yeah. But so look at Chris Sanders and see what his speaking roles are. See if you can find it for me.
I know that in Monsters, Inc., the slug lady, that's one of the animators who did that voice.
This happens a decent amount of time that they have a stand. They always got to have the stand-in voices. Like when we were working on a certain film that didn't come out of mine, we hired a bunch of people to do line reads, and several of them are so good that they were on track to be in the film, but alas,
never came about.
Is it Chris Sanders? I think it's Chris Sanders.
He's got quite a few in like How to Train Your Dragon.
I think it's him. Ah, man.
And this... Penguins of Madagascar.
Oh, that's it. Oh, it's okay. Penguins. He's Captain Penguin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Like,
right? That's what I was searching for. Yeah, because he jumped from DreamWorks to Pixar. And so he was Skipper. Or maybe he was the big mean one. But he was one of the penguins. And he did all the stand-ins. And then his voice became, Which penguin is he?
On Wikipedia, they have him as Antarctic Penguin.
Oh, well,
maybe I'm
down.
Thinking of somebody else.
Let me check the other director.
Yeah. Let me see.
Well, yay!
Oh, Tom McGrath, as Skipper, is the director of Madagascar. So I am right on that. So I'm the not right on it being thing. The Croods. The Croods was a false lead. But so, the director of Madagascar, just read the lines, and then they loved it, and so there you are. I am vindicated partially, just slightly vindicated, not majorly.
So, I got nothing. I don't know if I have anything else interesting to say.
You don't?
No. Do you?
I always have interesting things to say. I can always tell a story or two.
No, here's what I was going to mention to you, because I've had two kind of half weeks in a mm-hmm. row that were very good mentally. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of or have any of your family done something called neural feedback therapy?
No.
It's weird, but it's so far been effective. They yeah. put little electrodes on your brain just to read brainwaves, not to mm-hmm. like shock you or anything. And then you watch like a movie or play a little game mm-hmm. and the color saturation changes and the image size will grow and shrink. Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of changing your brain and the way, just kind of like the frequencies that it works on. It sounds like nonsense. My psychiatrist recommended it, and it has been, like, I can tell leaving a session that I feel better.
So you said that it only reads your brain. It doesn't...
Yeah, but the input is from the screen.
Okay.
And that's how it affects your brain, is because your eyes are like, oh, that's changing or growing or whatever. I have okay. no idea.
So you don't
how
watch like Penguins of Madagascar.
You could.
Oh.
Yeah. But because it's the size and the colors and to some extent the sound that changes.
But how is that different from sitting in front of a TV and watching Penguins of Madagascar?
Because it's changing and doing weird things.
Oh.
In response to your brainwaves.
Oh, your brainwaves, it reads. Okay, I get it. So I just thought that the brainwaves were projecting onto a screen and you're watching penguins and there's no.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It reads your brainwaves and says, this isn't the right brainwaves. I'm going to make Robin Williams' face smaller. And then it like does it. And I don't know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I make up nonsense for a living, but it works, at least for me. It's been really nice.
How's that been?